A conversation on race in Connecticut. Lisa Wexler talks to Bridgeport civic activist Wayne Winston. Now, on Southern Connecticut's news and information leader, WICC 600.
And welcome back to the show. Good morning, good morning. Wayne Winston's in the studio with us because on Wednesdays at 11:30, we just take this time aside and we news gather, we schmooze, we reach across the aisle, we reach across our own barriers and own existing misperceptions and preconceptions about our identities, racial and otherwise. Wayne Winston, welcome back to the show. Hello.
Well, good afternoon. Well, actually, still morning.
It's still morning. I know, but it's going to be a packed day, I can tell you already. 203-333-9422 is our number. So, Wayne, any particular stories on your mind today you want to share with us?
Well, you know, I think the Rittenhouse and the Marbury are very
the big trials.
Much on everyone's mind to the degree of, like, this is really a reflection of the justice that's going on here because the judge's controversial ruling in the beginning that you couldn't take two people who are dead.
Let's not confuse them. Let's be very clear. The Arbery, and we're going to go to my sister Jill Zarin in a moment because she's got a racial story she wants to tell you about.
Oh, excellent.
But the Arbery trial is Georgia.
Yes.
And the Rittenhouse is?
That's in Kenosha.
In Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Yes.
So
yes.
Two very different places.
Yes.
And two very different trials.
Absolutely.
Two very different judges.
Yes.
We're watching in real time. Very different judges. My sister Jill Zarin, one of the OG Real Housewives of New York City and an all-star, I might add, texted me this morning that she personally observed something that was very troubling to her that she thought had racial connotations. She's thinking of calling this into Page Six in the New York Post, but I said, hey, let's scoop it here on the Lisa Wexler Show. We're talking about race anyway. Good morning, Jilly. Good morning. You're on the air with Wayne Winston, my good friend. Say hi.
Hi, Wayne. Nice to meet you. Hi, sister.
Hi, Beauty.
Good morning. Great to meet you, too.
I don't know how much time I have, but
you have time. Tell me, what happened?
Okay. So I had a JetBlue flight last night to Florida at 9 o'clock. It was a late flight. The flight was half empty. And I'm sitting, you know, quietly with my dog in row 6 on the aisle. And a gentleman sitting across from me, one behind in 7. And he was wearing a hoodie. He had a beard and a thing, but he's wearing a mask. And I heard him say to the flight attendant, could I switch seats? Because there were two girls sitting next to him, and the flight was literally more than half empty. There were empty seats all around us, everywhere. And he actually asked, because he's a polite young man, and he said to her, would it be okay if I moved seats so that they could have the seat? And she looked at him, and she says, no, you're not allowed to move your seat. And she walked away. Okay, I turned around to him and I said, you know, when we take off, I'm sure you can move. She heard that and turns around and yells at me and says, don't tell him that. He did the right thing. He asked. You're not allowed to move. And she walked away. So I kept my mouth shut. About 5 minutes later, they're doing the everybody put your seats up drill. And I hear him say, why did you do that? And I turn around and the woman had put her hand on the back of his seat and grabbed the armrest and pressed in the button and jolted him forward.
Wow.
Otherwise, he would have said, why did you do that? Because usually they ask you, could you please bring your seat up? They don't touch you.
Right. Never.
And she wouldn't answer. And she had a mask on. She wouldn't. And I was like, she wouldn't answer him. So he said it again. And he's a man and he has a man voice and he didn't scream. No one else heard it except for me and like 3 other people. And he said, why did you do that, ma'am? You know, why did you do that? It was the girl sitting next to me whose seat was back, not mine. And she ignored him. And he said, I don't understand what I did wrong. Why did you do that? Why did you push my seat like that? And she walked away. And that was the end of it. She walks away, and I see her pick up the phone. And I knew. She was looking at him and talking to someone.
Wow.
A few minutes later, the pilot comes on and says, we're turning back. You were already on the runway.
Wow.
No way.
Turning back. Give you chills? Turning back. I look at the boy, and I said to him, they're going back to take you back. And he knew it too. He's on the phone, probably talking to his family. And I hand him my phone number. And I said, I am your witness. I am your witness. You don't know who I am, but I am your witness. And I gave him my number.
Chill.
After they took him off the plane, I was devastated. I kind of felt a little guilty because I had turned around and said to him, just move your seat. But he didn't, by the way. He never moved his seat.
He didn't do anything, is what you're telling me.
Nothing. He did nothing. He said, all he did is say, why did you push my seat?
Oh, my God.
Which is a human reaction.
Of course.
When someone jolts your seat and grabs your arm.
Totally.
Meanwhile, the woman, there's an older woman, but to make a long story short, at the end of the flight, we had a weirdo pilot who also came out at the beginning of the flight to tell us all that he, I want you all to know that you're safe. I'm an Air Force pilot, and my co-pilot is a civilian pilot, so you're very safe because you have both worlds.
That's weird. That's a weird thing to say.
A weirdo. So
this is JetBlue?
Anyway, at the end of the flight,
JetBlue is not what it used to be.
9 o'clock flight out of LaGuardia. I get off the plane, and also the office, the pilot had gotten up after they removed the man and said, I want everyone to know that there's safety reasons why you're not allowed to move your seat. There are weights and balances issues, and you can't move your seat. Really? Because
that's ridiculous. That's weights and balances issue.
Wait,
what are you talking about?
And then he says, and if you'd like to talk about weights and balances afterwards, I'm happy to talk to you. I get off the plane, and I say to the pilot, I'd like to talk to you. And I've been waiting 2 hours to do this. And I said to him, and I was very nice and calm, and I said, I understand why you had to do what you had to do, but you hadn't witnessed what happened. I did. And I'd like to tell you what really happened. He didn't want to hear it. He says, I only want to talk about weights and balances. I'm like, okay. I said, could you give me the name of the woman? He goes, you can get that at the end of the runway, you know, at the outside. I said, no, she's right. Anyway, she heard me. She goes, you want my name? I said, yes, I'd like your name. She goes, my name is Jay. So now everyone knows her name is Jay. And she was wearing a bun on her head. She was a black woman, and she had a bun on her head. Mm-hmm. And the boy who was taken off was of Spanish descent, you could tell.
Wow.
And I gave him my number. When I got off the plane, five women stopped with me. By the way, when I was talking to the pilot, people who had seen it and stopped, they wanted to hear what the pilot had to say. I get off the plane. I had five people give me their phone numbers to be witnesses for him. Because I said, this boy could have a felony. They could put him in jail. He doesn't have a lawyer.
He could be on a no-fly list. He could be on a no-fly list.
They could ruin his life because he had when I didn't have my seat back. Okay? And because he asked to move his seat, and he never did move his seat. He didn't get up. He wasn't disrespectful.
Wow.
So he calls me. Thank God he has my number. And his name is Angel. Ironic. And do you know why he was on that plane?
Why?
He went to New York to give a piece of his liver. He was testing to be a liver donor.
Wow.
He went to be a liver donor.
Wow.
Could you imagine? And when he was getting off the plane, his two sons were going to be, his little boys were coming to the airport to pick him up.
Unbelievable.
And they were going to, and they went to an empty plane. He never came off the plane. Yeah. So I am beyond heartbroken. I have the names of the four people. So this is what JetBlue did, though, by the way. I said to him, you know, you're very lucky. They did not arrest him. There were no police involved. They took him off the plane. They gave him a new ticket for a 6 a.m. flight, and he slept on the floor in the airport last night.
They didn't put him in a hotel.
For no good reason. No, forget about a hotel. I thought they would have. Listen, if he was such a danger to the plane.
Yeah, it's all.
Why are they putting him on another plane?
Crap.
Wait, no. And I called you last night. I didn't want to call you. It was 1 in the morning to see if he has a lawsuit against them, Lisa. Because I have to tell you, someone has to pay for this. She needs to be fired. And they can't do this to innocent people. He was racially profiled, I am telling you. He's half Puerto Rican and he's half Dominican. He was wearing a hoodie, and she thought he looked like a bum. And I got to tell you, if it was a man in a suit, a white man in a suit, she never would have done that. She never would have abused that.
Even though she herself was black, she did racial profiling. I'm just saying that that's the fact.
You can be black and racially profile a black person.
Oh, sure.
Absolutely. You know, and that's why I'm giving the ethnicities out, because I want you to know it wasn't like a white, you know.
Yeah, I hear you.
No, it wasn't. It was a black woman with a bun on her head. Her name is Jay. She's on JetBlue. You better not say a word when she's walking down that aisle. You better just sit there like a
soldier. So, Jill, let me tell you.
If you say a word, they're going to throw you off the plane.
So, Jill, let me tell you what happened to me at JetBlue. This happened in West Palm a few weeks ago, the last time I was, remember, last time I went to Mommy was in October. And I got to the airport, and I found that my plane was indefinitely postponed, indefinitely delayed. Like, I didn't know when it was going to go. And a lot of times they cancel when that happens. So I saw that somebody was leaving for Hartford, which would have been an alternate route for me. And I go up to the gate. I'm at the gate. And I asked, can I please get on the plane? Can I get on the plane? And the woman looks at me, and she doesn't tell me that the plane is full or anything like that, JetBlue. And she calls somebody. She says to me, "You're disturbing me." And she calls someone to tell on me. I'm telling you the truth. This is JetBlue.
I don't know who they're. I'm going in big, Lisa. I'm calling.
Well, what happened to this boy is terrible. It's terrible.
And you ready for this? You know what he says to me? He says, "I'm a barber. I pay my taxes." And he sent me a picture of him and his barber with all the people who work there.
Wow.
He says, "I'm a barber. I pay my taxes. I live in Fort Lauderdale. I'm an active member of my church. All I was doing was going to New York to test my liver for someone who needs a donor."
I think JetBlue needs to do a little bit more than put him on another flight.
And she needs to be reprimanded or fired, because that's not the
Absolutely.
Kind of people who should be working on an airplane. You have to know what you're dealing with. All he asked was, is he allowed to move his seat on an empty plane?
No, she had no right to put her hands on him anyway.
And she put her hands on him?
No right to do.
Well, on the back of the seat and jolted him. She gave him physical abuse.
I see.
What I'm saying? Physical. It was just unnecessary.
Unnecessary.
And it was
9 ratcheting
o'clock at
it
night
up.
On an empty flight. Everybody wants to go to sleep. And he never argued with her. She walked away, and he never. Let me just understand.
So they reacted by not taking off, going back to the gate, having him leave the flight. Everybody else has to get back on the plane, and then
we all sat on the plane. They just came and removed him.
They removed him. Wow. Embarrassing, humiliating, all of that.
Does he have a lawsuit?
I don't know.
I've got 4 witnesses plus myself. There are 5 of us.
I don't know. If he has a lawsuit.
We would all like to testify.
He definitely has. You know what? There are people that would know whether or not he has a lawsuit. I'm not going
to
answer that in a flip way.
And is the kind of lawyer that handles these contingency cases, please call the Lisa Wexler Show, and I will introduce you to Angel. And it's ironic, his name. And he was an angel. And he's from New York. He's born in New York. Mm-hmm. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm talking to him. He's sleeping on the floor of LaGuardia for no reason. And they put him back on a JetBlue flight. If he's such a danger, why didn't you?
Well, that was the profiling.
Yes.
Don't you see? That was the profiling. They probably, when they took him off, looked up to see if he had a criminal record, look up to see who he was. And then when they realized he wasn't a danger to anybody, they put him back on the plane.
Right. I know. It's terrible.
So, Jill, I have to tell you, one, I thank you for your courage.
I got a brave sister.
You know,
we are speak up girls.
You don't
things.
Know us.
Both
I
of
don't
us.
Know
tell.
Us.
Both of us.
need
Big
us.
Mouths. Both
we
of us.
We fight, but we
Amazing.
Fight for wrong.
We do
we
all
fight
the time.
Wrong. Whoever it is.
Yes,
that's
and,
what you know, we
and,
do.
And if someone was disrespectful to the to her,
sure.
I would have been for her.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like if she was in the right and he was, I'm just right for right, and this was so wrong.
So Wayne, what else do you want to say?
Well, you know, you also bring up the point of what racial profiling is. It's not; it's usually predominantly white to black, but we can do it as well, because there's so many stereotypes out there against Hispanics right now, and you have
That's
people
right.
have
Latino.
A problem with Hispanics. So, because it's really a human condition,
yes,
that
is.
You can just feel some way about another race.
That's true.
And to have done that to him. It really upsets me more as a black person, because so many times that has been against us.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, she committed like a moral
a
crime
sin.
To me.
Yeah.
Because we suffer enough trying to get through this with there's Karens because it happens so much. Now, here she is, a black Karen against this guy. And she does everything that's horrible, which is calls on him to get him in trouble. When a plane turns around,
she
that is significant.
Him. She can't, you see, the first altercation was about him moving his seat, which he didn't move, by the way. He didn't move.
I hear you.
And then she picked on him. I'm like, why are you picking on him?
Yeah.
Like, he was wearing a hoodie. He had a beard or whatever. He had his thing on. He had his backpack. What is he bothering anyone?
Well, she probably...
girls, by the way, he was being a hero. Do you know why? There was a girl sitting in the middle. He was comfortable. He didn't have to say a word. He was doing it for her.
He was doing it for her so she could move to the edge because the plane was half empty. I get it.
So he would move and she would get the seat.
I get it.
Yeah, she
was. She didn't speak English. That was another thing. She didn't speak English. I found that after because he told me that. So she didn't understand what was going on. She didn't speak English. He was speaking Spanish to her.
Wow.
Because they took him off the plane, she didn't understand what happened.
Oh, brother.
And then she didn't move into his seat because she didn't want to take
So you
seat.
Have names of other people as
yes,
well
I
who
have,
will corroborate what you
that
saw?
That is correct. Names and phone numbers, you bet.
Yeah, JetBlue will be hearing from the yeah. situation.
That's right.
Yes.
I hope so. You know, remember what happened with the dog in American Airlines?
Yes, that horrible situation. Yeah. By yeah. the way, you know that JetBlue has an alliance now with American Airlines, and that could be affecting some of what's going on with their personnel. The federal government is a little bit concerned. They're looking into whether or not there are some antitrust issues with it. But JetBlue and American Airlines have made their own alliance, and they have changed some routes to accommodate each other.
Each other. Uh-huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, Lisa, JetBlue, I love them. I've had great experiences with them.
Me too. This is
but
sad
I'm mad
to
at
hear.
Them because they used to be at the air terminal, and it was like a private airline, private airport, and now they moved into the big. And for anyone who's flying in New York, LaGuardia, who hasn't had an experience, give yourself at least an extra hour.
Oh, they're not in that little terminal anymore?
They are no longer at Marine Air Terminal.
Oh.
They are now at
Terminal
B. So you need to give yourself an extra hour to find B because of all the construction, you can end up at A like I did. So make sure you get to B. When you think you've gotten through security, which, by the way, the security is great and big and clean, and you go up the big main escalator, you're a good 15-minute walk to the plane. You better give yourself an extra hour.
Wow.
You just keep going and going and going and going and going and
Thanks,
going and
Jelly.
Going. But when you do get there to JetBlue's terminal, there's a Shake Shack there. So it's like a reward.
Okay.
You walk like 3 miles and you get Shake Shack.
There
but they had
100.
Just closed. I mean, I was having no luck last night.
Oh,
they closed
Jelly.
Right 5 seconds before.
So where and are you now? Are you in Florida?
Me.
Are you in Florida?
I'm in Florida. They detained me last night. They're so nuts. At the not detained, but you know, I went through security and they flagged my bag. I had bought candles that I'm selling, by the way, plug my crystal candles, and they took them out of my thing and tested the oil.
Oh,
for something. And then I'm selling now cheese knives, and mind you, I wish they were sharp. They're not. They're like soft edge. They're like soft edge, very soft edge knives. Two or three of them. No, they threw them out. Two of the three. They said I'd have to check my bag. To have two of the three cheese knives. And the one she let me keep, I should have taken a picture, was the sharpest one.
Oh, Jill. That's too funny.
Insanity. I'm like, am I? And she's the reason why I didn't get my Shake Shack. Because if I didn't have to wait for 10 minutes getting
Jill.
My bag checked, I would have gotten Shake Shack. So the whole Jill. Thing was a But his name is Angel. He is an angel. I am going to invite him to my house. I've decided for the
that's
holidays.
That's wonderful.
I'm going to invite him over. If I made Thanksgiving, I would have invited him and his family to Thanksgiving. So I'm going to have to do a Hanukkah thing.
All right.
Because I'm doing the club. But it's a wrong, and the universe has to correct it.
Yes.
The universe has to correct it. And if there's a lawyer out there who wants the case, I'm going to be a witness.
Okay,
so,
sweetheart. I sort of know who to call. We'll talk off air, okay?
Okay. Anyway, right. Wayne, thank you for speaking on Lisa's show, and thank you for supporting this because it's really such an injustice being done.
Oh, God bless
racial
you.
Racial profiling, even within your own. Listen, there are Jews who do things that are anti-Semitic.
Sure.
I don't even know what to say. It's a crazy world.
It's a crazy human thing.
You bet.
It's a crazy got some
world.
People
anyway, happy
on board.
Holidays.
All right.
And happy Thanksgiving.
Love
okay,
you, baby.
Bye, Lisa.
We'll be right back. Wayne Winston in the studio. More on this if you want to call with your reaction. 203-333-9422. We're talking racial profiling. We'll be right back.
A conversation on race in Connecticut. Lisa Wexler talks to Bridgeport civic activist Wayne Winston. Now on Southern Connecticut's news and information leader, WICC 600.
You know, Wayne, we're chatting a little bit. We just spoke with my sister, Jill Zarin, and if you want to hear that, we're going to put it on SoundCloud today, and we'll put it on WICC600.com under our segment to hear Jill tell the story that she witnessed firsthand, what she believes to be a case of unfair racial profiling, resulting in a man being taken off the plane, and she doesn't think for any good reason, having to sleep in the airport and then been put on at 6 a.m. the next day. But I was looking up this Bill of Rights for Airline Passengers. It looks like it was introduced in 2019 by Senator Wyden, but not necessarily passed. I'm trying to see whether or not it was passed. It might have been passed. But even if it was, it's things like ticket pricing, baggage issues, being oversold flights. It doesn't really address this, which is to say your right to be treated with your right to not have certain assumptions made about you if you didn't do anything wrong. And I don't know that that's covered within the four corners of Airline Bill of Rights, but there may be laws to protect people. The bigger issue, Wayne, the big idea here is to me, and I've been saying this for a while, is that people that are flight attendants now have become police officers since the advent of COVID. They act like it. They go around acting like law enforcement officials between the masks and everything else. And a lot of that has been superimposed on their job. They didn't ask for it. You know, in COVID, they didn't want to have to be a cop, but they have to be a cop. But some of them have taken on this mantle with this gusto that makes me feel, when I'm flying, not like I am the recipient of customer service at all. A lot of them have changed their attitude.
So it feels like a bit of a militarization, I assume. Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
And I feel sorry for the general flight attendants and the staff that were asked to be police in the time of COVID with a lot of crazy nut jobs who didn't want to comply with our rules and didn't want to allow people to fly safely and took out their angst and vented on these poor people that are just trying to do customer service. But at the same time, some of them have taken on this new role with too much fervor.
You know, I think COVID is like a whole brand new area for us. And, you know, you really have some people getting out of control on planes. And so it puts people.
That's right. Someone was just sentenced today, I think, to like 20 years or something in Texas for doing something outrageous, punching a flight attendant in the face.
And that could be basically where that comes. But however, you can't lose what the experience is when you work for an airline. When you're dealing with people and customer service.
It is.
And rolling back to what happened in this, it happens to be someone that did this on a plane to someone who was actually, and again, you never know what somebody's doing. This man is there to donate his kidney.
Can you imagine? Liver.
I mean,
part of
liver.
His liver.
And
could you imagine?
And that's just like, and that's your experience when you get on JetBlue. That's why the racial profiling hurts. You don't know what someone is doing. Every person that you racial profile is not a criminal, because part of that is what's happened with the mindset. You have to protect them from that individual. They're probably here on a freebie and all of those things that people think that you don't deserve to be here if you're Latino or Hispanic, or they think you're Mexican and you're just sucking off the system. So all of that wacky, horrible stuff is going on in your mind. And here's this guy sitting on the plane and he's going to ask to sit somewhere else. Oh, no, you stay in that seat right there. Okay, and as you come,
and we have
like,
to do waiting and balancing on a half-empty plane on a JetBlue airliner. Are you kidding me?
I think not.
Come on.
I think if anybody's flown at all, they know they can move wherever they want, and that
they
woman,
expect a full flight. Come
absolutely,
on.
Absolutely. And that woman, I hope she's dealt with properly.
That was bogus.
For real, and that's what's so horrible about this. So, thank God there's people like Angel
and my sister.
And your sister.
She's such a speak-up girl.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, Jill is.
And she went all the way down
she did.
The numbers, man.
That's
she
Jill.
Put it to everybody.
That's Jill. So. I want to speak to the pilot. I want to know your name. I want to know your name. I want you to have my number. That's my sister.
Wow. That's much to be proud of.
I'm very proud of my sister.
That's much to be proud of.
We were taught by both of our parents in word and deed to be speak-up kids. My father always said, when in doubt, speak up.
Wow.
Speak up.
We don't have enough of that.
Speak up.
Or if it is, it's for the wrong thing, you know.
Well.
You were talking about the critical race theory thing, that most people want to have that information.
They want to have, they want taught the history of racial discrimination in this country.
Yes.
7 out of 10 people in Connecticut.
And yet you have people at Board of Ed saying, no, we don't want anything. Nope, don't say anything about Black Lives Matter. Don't say anything about Tuskegee or Tulsa, Oklahoma. So we're winning from that standpoint as the majority, and we have to speak up to let those voices know that you're there, because when you're out there yelling, that's what the other side needs to know, that you are strong in your conviction. So that was a welcome survey that came out, because this is about making America a better place.
Yeah, well, 7 out of 10 is good. And also our legislature reflects that, because they're offering this in the curriculum. They have to offer it now in high schools, right?
Absolutely.
For the first time, they have
Absolutely.
To offer it. And they also mandated Holocaust education not too long ago. Shockingly that, I mean, it's just shocking to me that it had to be mandated, that it wasn't so obvious that people need to learn about it. But I guess, you know, there are gaps. So we've mandated that. So Connecticut is Connecticut does better than a lot of other states, I think, with respect to this.
Absolutely. In fact, we're out in the lead.
Yeah.
In Texas, you have them trying to do the reverse of that.
I saw that.
And that's where the vast majority of the textbooks that we use across the country come from Texas. So that's why what they do matters. So you may want that. Schools like Connecticut are going to have to vet the history books to make sure it reflects what they want.
That's true, because there's only a couple of textbook publishers. You're right about that.
Oh, yes.
They're going to have to make sure that the language is good. Otherwise, we'll just invent our own. It's not like we don't have enough people in Connecticut that are smart academicians. They can just write their own curriculum.
Absolutely.
Anyway, Wayne, good week so far?
So far, so good. You know, I am definitely drawn to the Rittenhouse case.
I know.
It goes well.
As a sitting judge, I can't comment on it, you know.
Understood. That's why I'm just making a comment for most of the people that I've talked to, black or white, who are just basically saying, well, if you can't call someone who shot a victim and you have to call them a looter or a rioter, I mean, I don't understand going in what that's all about.
We're going to find out from this jury. In the meantime, the National Guard and everybody else is amassing because they're afraid of violence no matter what the verdict is.
Well said.
I'm Lisa Wexler. We'll be back with Wayne next week. We'll be back behind the mic here for you tomorrow. Stay tuned for Paul Pacelli from 2 to 6. Dave Ramsey up next at noon. Thanks for joining us here on WICC 600 and 107.3 FM. If we